West Branch lay in the barely settled reaches of eastern Iowa at the intersection of two dirt roads. Downey Street, running north and south, was a crooked, rutted cart path that served as the main approach to town. Main Street stretched east to west for about 10 blocks, ending in a mud hole. The community was 2 decades old in 1874, the year of Herbert Hoover's birth. Of its 350 citizens, most were Quakers and all lived close to the land. The town fathers were proud of their amenities: a small schoolhouse, a livery stable, several general stores and a restaurant, 2 blacksmiths, a dollar-a-day hotel, a friend's meeting house. A forerunner of the Burlington, Cedar Rapids, and Northern Railway had reached West Branch 3 years earlier, prompting the entire population to celebrate with a basket dinner. A 2-plank sidewalk, the town's first, was laid from the depot to the corner of Downey and Main. With all these refinements, West Branch was still more remarkable for its wants. It had no bankers or lawyers, no blacks or Native Americans, and few, if any, Roman Catholics or Democrats. It had no fairground, no sports field, no theater, music hall, or library. A saloon was out of the question, and a jail unnecessary. The local newspaper filled a single sheet once a month. What West Branch lacked in news, it made up for in weather. In summer, an oppressive heat clung to the town, punctuated by howling black storms that stripped fruit from trees and reduced heavy cornfields to stubble. Winters were worse and long. Jesse Hoover was a West Branch blacksmith, a tall, lean man with twinkling dark eyes, an easy smile, and a long, dark beard shaped like a diamond. He owned 2 lots on Downey Street just north of Wapsonanic Creek. 1 lot held his shop and his forge, the other his home, a 2-room cottage he had built with his own hands. It was a simple, sturdy wood frame structure with walls of whitewashed barn board and a shake roof. The front door opened with a thumb latch. A man could walk in the front door and out the back in 3 strides. The parlor, dining area, and kitchen were 1 room, sparsely furnished. Jesse and his wife, Huldah, shared a tiny bedroom with their 3-year-old son, Theodore, who slept in a trundle bed. The family's clothes hung from hooks on the wall. Off the back of the house was a porch shed used for summer cooking and, occasionally, as a sleeping quarters for Jesse's hired hand. Late in the sweltering evening of August 10, 1874, Jesse tiptoed out to the porch and asked his assistant to run for help. Huldah was ready to give birth. Early the next morning, with the sun up and the temperature rising, Jesse slipped out of the house again and crossed the dusty street to tap on the window of his sister-in-law, Agnes Miles.
"Well, we have another General Grant at our house," he said. "Huldah would like to see thee."
There was nothing lofty or prophetic in the father announcing his son with an invocation of President Ulysses S. Grant. Jesse Hoover was a humble man. He possessed what passed for wit in the Door Quaker community. Agnes hurried over to see Huldah. The sisters, who were close, had spent the previous day visiting and sewing in the thick summer heat. Huldah had shown Agnes a bureau drawer full of handmade clothes prepared for the baby, all of them suited for a girl to be named Laura. Several decades later, Agnes recalled that the newborn, a boy, was round and plump and looked about very cordial at everybody. Naming the child was a problem, as Laura, obviously, would not do, and the mother had no alternative in mind. Another sister reminded Huldah of a favorite book, Pierre and His Family, a Sunday school martyrology set among the Protestant Waldenses of Piedmont. The hero of the story is a spirited boy named Hubert who is dedicated to his Bible and longs to become a pastor. Huldah's sister remembered Hubert as Herbert, and the baby was called Herbert Clark Hoover. He shared his father's middle name.